Welcome back to NFL Rants and Raves. I'm Steven Miranda. On Tuesday, September 4th, 2018, episode 14.03, the NFL Week 1 show. What time is it, people? Football time. I'm hope that you all yelled football time at the same time as I asked what time it is. The NFL kicks off its 2018 season in just 2 days as the Eagles host the Falcons on Thursday Night Football. And Steve and I simply cannot wait. We got two mega deals in the NFL over the weekend to talk about and some surprising cuts. But you know what, folks? Get ready. It's game time. And when it's game time, it's pain time. Woo, woo. Let's chop it in.
Bringing American football to the world. It's Steven Miranda and Steve Fry with NFL Rants and Raves.
All right, people. This is Steven Miranda.
And Steve Fry.
That's right. Joining me along for the ride. I am really excited not only to get to our picks later on in the show, but to get to Lady Edith's picks.
Yes, Lady Edith.
I saw her submission, and I smiled. Mostly because she has a couple upsets that I'm banking on, and she picked the star. So how can I not be angry?
You got to be happy with that. I even tried a couple of times to get her to pick the Panthers. She wouldn't do it. She's going with your
she's
pick.
She's going with the Cowboys. So, folks, if you hear me, I am not in the best of moods. I decided for some stupid reason to go sailing at sunset in Santa Cruz, and it was quite chilly. There was no sun at all.
It's not an area known for sunshine this time of year.
I know. That it was great. We went up north to visit Trisha's brother, Mark, who we don't see all that frequently. So it was really cool to kind of hang out with him and his family. And he's like, hey, I booked this sunset cruise. You know, not cruise, but it's a catamaran, and you go out sailing, and you go out into the ocean, and you see the sunset, and maybe you'll see a humpback whale or two. And there was a breach of water, but we don't really know what it was. And there was no sun. So no sunset at all.
No sunset, no whales, no...
Not a whole lot of nothing, but it was enjoyable nonetheless, and the company was fantastic. We're going to get right to it because there's a lot to talk about. Obviously, the season starts this week, 16 games to talk about, but we're just going to jump in with money. First, the Rams agree with defensive tackle Aaron Donald, and they made him the highest paid defensive player in NFL history. And, Steve, before he could say, I am the highest paid defensive player at
Khalil Mack.
Khalil Mack. The Raiders traded Mack to the Chicago Bears, and they made him and set the bar for defensive players, giving him a six-year, $141 million contract extension. All in all, it's a six-year, $141 million deal with $90 million guaranteed. That's the Gura. Now, Aaron Donald can't complain. He got $87 million, Gura. But $3 million more for Khalil Mack on a blockbuster trade that happened right before the season starts.
That's a big $3 million difference. It's still a lot of money. A $3 million difference in a day.
It's incredible. Huge props to the Chicago Bears for making this move, having the cojones to go after him, having the cojones to actually pay him the money that he totally feels he deserved. The Raiders were never going to pay him that.
No.
I mean, I don't want to say that the Raiders are cheap, but the Raiders are cheap. I mean, they're not going to be paying anybody that kind of money. I mean, I don't even think Derek Carr, if he continues to show promise, gets that kind of money from the Raiders. It's just not something that Davis is going to pay. So I don't like the move. I think when you have someone who solidifies your defense like that, you keep him around long term. But obviously, Reggie McKenzie.
That's not the Raiders style.
No, it isn't. It isn't. They don't like to pay the big bucks. But Aaron Donald, he's a, I'm the man. Man, can you at least let me finish the sentence? and let me celebrate for longer than a day.
We haven't even finished the first bottle of champagne. Come on.
Man, there you go. So two big contracts there. Defensive players certainly earning their money. All teams had to cut down their rosters to the 53-man roster limit. I'm just going to give you some names that when I looked at it, I was like, wow, man, that dude got cut. And we're going to start with the Denver Broncos, where finally they gave up on quarterback Paxton Lynch and stopped the Paxton Lynch experiment.
That's two quick seasons.
Yeah, two quick, very quick seasons. And when Elway finally says, yeah, you've got to go, he's got to go. I think the Bills are bringing him in for a workout, but I don't see Paxton landing with anyone anytime soon. Other quarterbacks of note, the Steelers cut Landry Jones. The Chargers cut Cardale Jones. And the Houston Texans cut wide receiver Braxton Miller and punter Shane Leckler. Now, Leckler has been fantastic as a punter. He was the oldest punter in the league at 42 years old. He's been punting since 2000.
13 years with the Raiders, 5 with the Texans.
And phenomenal dude, phenomenal punter. When I saw his name on the cut list, I couldn't believe it.
He was quoted over the weekend as saying he is not done playing football.
He's going to get a shot. I believe that he is that good of a punter. He will get a shot somewhere else. The New England Patriots released Mike Gillisley, running back there, who, he helped in their, in their deep runs in the playoffs over the last several years. But that just goes to show you that's another organization with, see ya, you got to go.
No loyalty there. They're going to go with what fits in the system, and they're going to, what can you say? They've been winning.
Yeah, you cannot, you cannot say, well, they don't know what they're doing because they continue to win. But, man, that is harsh.
Unless you're Tom Brady, don't buy a house in New England.
Even Tom Brady might, wonder in a couple years here whether it's time for him to move.
I think by now he's been there long enough that he probably owns.
Yeah, that's true. Finally, the Dallas Cowboys, we're going to segue to kickers. Two kickers of note. The Cowboys released their veteran of 7 years, Dan Bailey. He was Mr. Automatic. I can't believe that they cut him, but I think it's more a salary. I mean, he was due something close to like $4 million, like $3.7 million. That probably cost him his job. The San Diego Chargers continue to give Robert Aguayo his sad story, and it just continues for him. This is a guy who the Tampa Bay Buccaneers moved up in 2016 into the second round to draft a kicker. Now,
it had been the first kicker in the second round since 2005.
It'd been a while. It'd been a long time. He was a complete disaster for the Bucs.
Except for his first preseason game.
Ugh.
4 for 4 preseason. Come on.
Then he was a complete disaster a couple other places that he tried to kick. Tried to make the team in San Diego, couldn't, and gets cut again. Just goes to show you, maybe, just maybe, you don't move up into the second round and take a kicker. You put a lot of pressure on a kicker at that point.
They got to be worth a lot of points on the board to make that worthwhile,
yeah.
And I just don't see how that happens.
I don't see that. All right, some other NFL news before we get to our rants and rave segment. The Philadelphia Eagles have finally got Doug Peterson to say that he has named his starting quarterback for Thursday Night Football, and they confirm it is quarterback Nick Foles. What do you think of that?
I mean, it's not too much of a surprise. It's interesting that Dan Quinn of the Falcons commented that if the styles were different, they might have been a little worried who was starting, but the styles are so similar that they're just they're planning for that offense. Doesn't matter who's going to start it. So.
Regardless of Foles and or Wentz. I don't believe Wentz has actually been cleared for contact yet. So he's still lingering with that, with the issue, the injury from last year that he's rehabbing from. My question is, how long do you go with Foles if he's struggling? I mean, because he's struggled in a couple preseason games mightily. Now, yeah, they were just preseason games, but he did not look sharp. The Cleveland Browns made him look bad. And you got to start wondering, you lose the first game, you maybe lose the second game, and do you hit panic mode and say, Wentz, come on, you gotta get healthy, buddy.
Well, until Carson is healthy and ready to go, you're going to stick with him. Who else do you have to put in there?
Not much you could do. Not much you could do there. All right. The New York Jets are deciding to go with the rook. They're starting rookie Sam Darnold. Apparently, coach says that he earned his position. He kept his head down and earned his position, and he's ready to go out there and be the starting quarterback for the New York Jets.
Hey, look, your boy Tony Romo has had some nice things to say about this guy.
He has.
He has the potential to be on the same level as Brady and Rodgers. Potential. He did not guarantee it. He said potential.
Tony, I will use a line from the head coach that gave you your starting opportunity with the Dallas Cowboys. Let's not anoint him. Let's not get the anointing oils out yet. Dude hasn't even played a game in the regular season. Slow your roll, Tony.
And it's not.
And I don't tell Tony slow your roll ever, but
no.
Slow your roll a little bit there with Sam Darnold.
The Jets don't exactly have the offense that are going to keep him upright to begin with, so I don't think he's going to have a chance to look as good as Brady or Rodgers.
Don't have a running game, too. Can you quickly? Don't look at any notes. Name one wide receiver for that team.
Nope, can't.
Yeah. I mean, Ely, maybe I can pull that one out of there, maybe. But no, it's gonna be tough. It's gonna be tough there for the Jets. Good luck, Sam Darnold, because you, my friend, are the only rookie QB starting. The Baltimore Ravens have Lamar Jackson third on their depth chart. Baker Mayfield will not be starting. Hugh Jackson has gone with Tyrod Taylor Tyrod Taylor to start the season.
After years in the league, he's trying to correct that.
Tyrod. I'm going to die here, I swear to God. Tyrod Taylor. And the Buffalo Bills have said Josh Allen's not starting. They're going with Nathan Peterman. Who? That's right, Nathan Peterman.
What?
My only thought here is that they've got to be starting Peterman to save Allen until they can find an offense to protect the quarterback.
Well, is it? I mean, the Bills do start with the Ravens. That's going to be a pretty fierce defense.
Yeah.
They probably said, yeah, let's not kill the kid the first week of the season. Let's still be. Because do you remember, Peterman, I think, actually his first start last year, he threw 5 picks in the first half. In the first half of his first game, he had 5 turnovers. And that's the guy that they're
gonna
starting.
Put him up against the Ravens, yeah.
Good luck with that one.
I bet you can guess which way we're both going to pick that
guy. Yeah. That and you know what? I'm going to go ahead and tell you, Lady Edith was smart enough to pick the Ravens too. So let's get to that. But before we do, it's rant and rave time. Steve, I believe you've got a nice rave coming up. So give it to us. Start it now.
So we talk often about the negative things, the controversies, the challenges off the field that a lot of the players, teams, and coaches have in the NFL. We don't often recognize the positive things that are being done in the NFL. A lot of these guys, even some of the more challenged ones, usually spend a lot of time off field giving back to the community. Today I'm going to highlight the Malcolm Jenkins Foundation.
All right.
So their mission is to effectuate positive change in the lives of youth, particularly those in underserved communities. The charity provides resources, innovative opportunities, and experiences that will help youth succeed in life and become contributing members of their community. So just to give an idea of some of the things that they do for the communities in Ohio, Pennsylvania, and New Orleans, since 2012, the foundation has provided 4,400 families with health, wellness, and essential resources. This includes 25-pound boxes of food, 10-pound boxes of essential toiletries, free medical screenings, as well as partnering with 25 different groups to provide health, wellness, education, social services, and job-related resources. Then they get into, they've got scholarships provided last year to 16 college track seniors. They provide a 3-day college tour to students in the New Orleans area who are sophomore, junior year looking to go into college. So they take them out for a 3-day tour around the Southeast to introduce them to different campuses, as they found that encouraging kids to work towards college helps. If they see the colleges, they understand which colleges are a good fit for them. which campuses, which resources they can use, and it starts to increase the potential of them making it onto a college campus. They've also created a week-long STEAM class for those of you not in the education or with young kids. STEAM would be science, technology, engineering, arts, athletics, and math. And it's a week-long camp for middle and elementary school kids from West Philadelphia. So trying to make some good changes in some of the communities he has a history and a background with, and and we're happy to highlight that.
All right, that's really good. That is something to rave about. Good stuff happening from players in the NFL. It doesn't always have to be negative, and I'm going to piggyback off of that with a rave of my own, because I just saw J.J. Watt's foundation and what they have done over, it's been a year since Hurricane Harvey hit the Houston area. And, you know, it started really with him just feeling bad. You know, not so much they couldn't play a football game, but it devastated the community of Houston. And he's like, I'm going to raise $1 million to help, you know, folks who have been devastated by this, you know, catastrophic hurricane. And it started with that simple. And the next thing you know, he's like, he made $1 million so fast. He's like, you know what? I'm going to raise $2 million. It's going to be $2 million now. And then he was like, he saw how quickly he raised that. He's like, okay, I'm going to try to make $5 million. And it kept going. Well, last week, he announced that after a year long, the foundation raised $41.6 million for the Hurricane Harvey Relief Fund. Now, just quickly to point out the J.J. Watt Foundation mission statement, or should I say the Justin J. Watt Foundation. I bet you didn't know the first J.
I didn't know what the first J. I don't know what the second J means.
Well, at least we know the first one is Justin. The Justin J. Watt Foundation. To give their mission statement, our mission is to provide after-school opportunities for middle school-aged children in the community to become involved in athletics so that they may learn the character traits of accountability, teamwork, leadership, work ethic, and perseverance while in a safe and supervised environment with their peers. So that's the base of the foundation. But when Hurricane Harvey hit, it changed a little bit from there. It was no longer just, you know, helping kids, which they do a great job of doing. It's we're going to raise money to help people in need. And as of now, in the 12 months since Hurricane Harvey, the $41.6 million that J.J. Watt and his foundation were able to raise helped clean up and repair and rebuild over 600 homes. So that's 600 families there that are very grateful for the foundation, what they've done. The recovery and the rebuilding of over 420 child care centers and after-school programs serving over 16,000 kids. They distributed over 26 million meals to all those affected because of the hurricane. They've been able to provide physical and mental health services to over 6,500 individuals, and they've distributed medicine to over 10,000 patients. So, once again, in a day and time where everyone's got a lot of negative things to say about the football players, even though I believe some of those things that they say are wrong, let's look at something like this, like the Malcolm Jenkins and the J.J. Watts of the NFL, because you don't hear about this stuff. There's a blurb every once in a while about, hey, J.J. Watts Foundation raised $41 million. And that's all you really hear.
Yeah, you never hear what it's going toward, what actual numbers they're doing out in the communities.
Yeah. And so definitely that is my rave today, J.J. Watt. I am naming one of my fantasy football teams the 1.21 J.J. Watts. That's the name of my fantasy football team. Big J.J. Watt looking. I put like the white duck brown hair on it. That's my logo, big J.J. Watt with the duck brown hair. 1.21 J.J. Watts, which is just fantastic. Congratulations for him to be able to start something simple and turn it into that big and help that many people. Very, very well-deserved raid there for J.J. Watt and the Justin J. Watt Foundation. All right. It's time. You know what time it is?
Football time.
What time is it?
Football time.
That's right, baby. It's time for football week one in the NFL season. Starts Thursday, September 6th at 8:30 p.m. Eastern as the this is the last time I'm going to say this, okay?
Defending Super Bowl champion
Philadelphia Eagles host the Atlanta Falcons. I think now I have met my quota that I must say it on the show.
Do we continue to call them the defending Super Bowl champions until they lose? That might be a fair...
Until they lose a game?
Yeah.
Well, they're going to lose this week.
Well...
They got the Atlanta Falcons.
Then what do you have to lose?
All right. I will continue to call them the defending Super Bowl champion Philadelphia Eagles until they lose a game this season. When they lose a game this season, I no longer have to call. I just call them Philadelphia Eagles. We good with that?
I'm okay with that, yeah.
Everybody out there who's listening is a Philadelphia Eagle fan. You good with that? Well, we're not going to get an answer. But, yeah, you're going to be good with that because if they lose this week against the Atlanta Falcons, you all are going to be good with that. And I am actually on a limb here. So, first things first, we're going to explain a little bit. So this is Steve's first season on the show, so we got to get him acclimated to the picks and the different games that we differ on. And since he's new to the show, we're going to let him make the first pick on what the challenge game is going to be. Steve and I have to maybe offline, off air, talk if there's going to be a punishment after the season for the loser.
Wonderful. Yeah.
Yeah. Steve's in. If you're in, you're in. Here's
the
other.
We haven't decided what it is. So.
Well, no, but we'll talk about it off air. We'll come up with something. The other thing is Steve's 2-year-old daughter, little Edith. We call her Lady Edith on the show. That's how she's going to be known on the website. Lady Edith is going to make her picks alongside. Now, real quickly, do you want to tell us how she makes the picks? Does she have a computer and she charts teams?
It is a highly technical process of holding up the logos of the two competing teams and waiting until which one she points to.
How long does this process take?
She's pretty quick on it.
Oh, she's quick? Yeah. It's like you put the two logos up and boom.
You ask which one, she immediately points to one or the other. So,
well, that's a nice scientific way to go about making your picks.
It's as good as any, I think.
Is it? Do you think it's going to be better than the flip of a coin, 50-50?
No. I don't see how it can be.
Okay. Well, we're going to put it to the test.
I'm hoping it's not because I'm worried that that's what my picks are going to be. So if she's better than that, then I'm in trouble.
You are in trouble.
Because there might have to be two punishments. If you beat me, and then...
And then if she beats you.
But what happens if she beats both of us?
Oh. You know what? I will never do the show again.
Well, why is that? Well, okay.
If I lose to a 2-year-old picking logos, I should, you know, go on record. I've historically, you know, I've been doing the show, this is 14 seasons.
Done quite well.
I'm usually between 68 and 74%, which is, as far as prognosticators go, that's very good.
It is.
So, I don't know. If you don't think you can beat 50%, you're in trouble.
I'm hoping I can do better than 50%.
Okay, all right.
I'm just saying in the odd chance that either lightning strikes and she beats both of us.
Yeah. Yeah, that would be interesting.
Or she just beats you and I happen to win.
Oh, my gosh.
I mean, I would cry. I don't anticipate that happening. But.
Cry myself to sleep for like a year. All right, so this is how we do it. The first 2 weeks of the season, actually 3 weeks, the first 3 weeks of the season, we just will go Thursday night games, Sunday early games, Sunday late games, Sunday night football, Monday night football. Then in week 4, we start separating the games into El Juego Grande Estupendo de la Semana, which is the best game of the week, games of the week, games of importance, games of interest, and the nap games. Because by week 4, you kind of start to
see the pattern. Yeah,
teams rise and teams fall, and you can kind of figure it out.
But we can get an idea if we were any good on last week's show.
Exactly. First up, we have Thursday Night Football. The Atlanta Falcons travel to the City of Brotherly Love, which they show no love to me when I go to Philadelphia, okay? But the City of Brotherly Love and the Philadelphia Eagles. Who do you got?
I've got the Eagles pulling this one out. Falcons played tough last year in the playoffs. Probably should have won that game in the playoffs. But I don't see the Falcons being quite that much better last year or this year than they were last year, and I see the Eagles pulling this one out at home, even with Nick at starting quarterback.
All right, here's what I see, because Edith, who, you know, as much props as I gave her early on in the show, taking the Eagles. All right, whatever.
She liked the bird. Come on.
She liked the bird.
They're both birds.
Yeah. Like,
she likes green, not red. I don't know.
Yeah, the green bird was better than the red bird. But so you guys have the Eagles. I'm taking the Atlanta Falcons. I'll tell you why. I don't like what I've seen from Nick Foles. They don't have Nelson Aguilar. He's still with his shoulder. We haven't seen Jay Ajayi, the running back, at all. So we don't know what we're getting there. So that offense is one big freaking question mark for me right now. And the Atlanta Falcons, at least offensively, have zero question marks. You're going to have Julio Jones. You're going to have Devontae Freeman running the rock. And Matt Ryan, is it Matt Ryan or Nick Foles? I'm going to go with Matt Ryan. I think usually when the defending Super Bowl champion start the season and they host that opening game, the defending Super Bowl champion wins. Only exception was a few years ago, the Cowboys beat the New York Giants. I picked that one. I'm going to pick it again. I think the Atlanta Falcons win, and you guys are going to start in an 0-1 hole.
All right.
All right, there you go.
I beg to differ.
Moving on. Sunday morning, September 9th, 1 p.m. Eastern time, 10 a.m. out here on the West Coast. I will be, by the way, Sunday morning in the sportsbook at the Wynn watching all the games.
I will be comfortably on my couch
on
Sunday morning.
Okay.
Watching all the games.
The wife has graciously, for the second year in a row, decided to, for my birthday weekend, take me to Las Vegas. So we're going to go up there Saturday, watch some college football, have some fun, gamble a little bit. And then Sunday, it will be football all day long. She's already made reservations, prime center seats at the sportsbook. And so we'll have a football Sunday in Las Vegas. I'm so excited. I cannot wait. I want it to be Friday night now. But we'll start with the Buffalo Bills traveling to Baltimore to face the Baltimore Ravens. Wow, it looks like we all agree here.
We do, yeah.
Baltimore, Baltimore, Baltimore. Steven's got the Ravens. Steve's got the Ravens. Lady Edith's got the Ravens. Man, what do you got to say about this game?
So, I don't see Nathan Peterman winning this one against a rough Ravens defense. Flacco doesn't have any issues with the Bills D, and I see him kind of just easily running away with this one.
Yeah, I almost made this my lock of the week. I just don't like that the Ravens are giving up a touchdown, so it's not my lock. I'll probably have them on my sheet. I'll probably take the Ravens, but straight up, it's going to be Baltimore. I don't think the Bills defensively aren't as good. Bills offensively, I'm sorry. I don't want to say that the decision to start Peterman over Josh Allen is a joke, because it's not a joke. The coach obviously saw something in Peterman that he liked better. But it's a little funny to me. And here's what I know. I actually was thinking about starting this segment. So what I know and what I don't know. What I know is Peterman's going to get the start because the coach has said he's earned the right this spring in training camp, and he's gonna be our starter. What I don't know is for how long. Is it going to be 1 week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks? Clearly, if the Bills go 0-3, 0-4, yeah, is he going to have a quick hook and get Peterman out of there to give Josh Allen some time at the quarterback position? That's what I don't know, and how long is it going to be? Couple games, three games? Who knows? Bottom line is they won't get it done this week against the Ravens in Baltimore. We all like Baltimore there. Moving on, the Jacksonville Jaguars travel to New York to face the Giants. All right. We agree again.
Another one. Yep.
You got a smart kid, man. I mean, outside of that stupid Eagles pick, she's on fire.
I credit that all to my wife.
We all like the Jacksonville Jaguars here. I just think the Jags defense is going to be formidable this season. They're going to make Eli Manning dance, as I call him, Happy Feet.
Happy Feet, yep.
Yep, Happy Feet. It's Eli Manning's Happy Feet. And I believe we'll see sad Eli face two or three times this game. The girls in the Miranda household love to see sad Eli face. I think we'll see that a couple times. Plus, I think the Giants, look, the Giants' defense is a question mark to me. Last year, it seems like they gave up, and they gave up a lot of big plays, and they just were never on the same page. And I haven't really seen enough from their defense to know, are they going to be able to stop the Jags? You know, the Jags, obviously, Blake Bortles, are they for real? But I do know that the defense is going to be just too much for Eli. Saquon Barkley's the wild card. I mean, we're going to see this rookie running back. We haven't seen him yet. Can he run against the Jags? If he can run against the Jags, maybe that changes something. I just don't see it yet. I think it's going to take him three or four games to get into the rhythm of playing in the NFL. I like the Jacksonville Jaguars.
All right, moving on. Our third game here, we've got the Buccaneers at the Saints. Steven and I agree on the Saints, and Lady Edith is going with the Bucs.
Yeah, you know what? I need to talk with her first before I lock in my pick of the Saints, because I think she might know something that I don't know. What I do know is that Ryan Fitzpatrick is getting the start because Jameis Winston is suspended for the first four games. And that scares me off of the Bucs, because I don't, you know, I know what I get in Fitzpatrick. The Saints defense is going to be loads better this season. I think they're going to pressure him into making some mistakes. I'm not sure. You know, the Buccaneers are going in with a couple of young backs, a rookie running the football. I'm not sure that Fitzpatrick can throw the ball downfield to DeSean Jackson or Mike Evans. So I'm going to stick with the New Orleans Saints. I think they're, you know, at home, in the dome, on turf, they're going to be, you know, Drew Brees going to do what he does. I like the Saints.
Yep, I agree.
All right, we'll move on as the Houston Texans travel to New England to face the New England Patriots. Oddly enough here, I am not starting the season picking against New England.
It's got to happen 14th season.
No, not this season at all. I've got the Patriots. You've got the Patriots.
Edith has the Patriots.
And even the little smart cookie has got the Patriots. So we've all got New England at home. Look, I think Houston is going to be I think they're going to be a good team. And they're going to be certainly be there in the end of the season. I just don't think, you know, Deshaun Watson's first game back from an injury. They still got some pieces in place. I think their defense is going to be good. But one thing I do know is that New England Patriots defense is going to be a huge upgrade from last year.
Yeah.
And people are saying, how can you say that? Matt Patricia left. He's now the head coach of the Lions. Yeah, Matt Patricia's great, but one thing that I have learned in my 14 years of doing this, if I learn nothing, is that the New England Patriots mentality and philosophy of next man up is to be rivaled by no one. They certainly know how to fill in a hole, whether it's a player or a coach, and they just continue humming. You know, it's like a, you know, that scene from The Incredibles. It's a clog, you know. A company is one big oiled machine, and all the clogs fit in place. And it doesn't. You drop one clog, and you just put another one, and it keeps working. That is the New England Patriots. They'll just find a way to get that defense humming.
They're just going to be chasing Watson all over the field. I don't see this. Oh, and to answer the trivia question.
Yes.
James. The second J is James. Surprised you on that one. Yeah.
You can't make me laugh tonight. Justin James Watt.
Yes.
Well, thank you very much. That is great. Now we know the whole JJ.
Now you know the rest of the story.
I wonder if
can we say that?
What? What's that?
You know the rest of the story?
Yeah.
Somebody else did that, right?
Yeah, I think someone did. Yeah. But I guess if I'm ever at a stadium and I'm getting ready to interview him, do I call him Justin? Would that be weird?
Probably,
like,
yeah.
Well, you know, he's just walking down and he's like coming in. I'd be like, what's up, Justin? And he'd look at me like, what did you just call me, fool? Do you think he would respond or do you think he would look at me like I was weird?
I'm sure he would respond, but he'd be looking for a cousin or something.
And I am nothing.
Yeah.
Related.
I don't believe the two of you would be mistaken for family members.
For family members. There you go. So, Justin James Watt. JJ Watt. All right. Good to know. We all have the Patriots. It's going to be an interesting game. Look, I'm going to be in the back of my mind cheering for Deshaun Watson and the Houston Texans. I just don't think they'll get it done first week in New England. Moving on, the San Francisco 49ers travel across the country to face the Minnesota Vikings. Interesting here. I think this might be the first little slip-up of our Lady Edith.
Yeah.
I've got the Minnesota Vikings. You've got the Minnesota Vikings. But she decided to take the San Francisco 49ers.
I have no idea what she's seeing in the 49ers.
I think she's got a little man crush maybe on – well, it's not a man crush because she's female, so she would just have a crush.
A crush, yep.
On Jimmy Garoppolo. I mean
that's the only thing I can think of. You're right. Yeah.
That's the only thing it can be, right?
I'm sure she can pick him out of a lineup too.
All right. So Lady Edith going with the 49ers. Look, the Minnesota Vikings. I know. We got a new quarterback in town. We got Kirk Cousins. It's Kirk Cousins time. I've never been a big Kirk Cousins fan, but I think they'll have enough weapons in the backfield with Dalvin Cook. They got Dalvin Cook back. Stephon Diggs, Adam Thielen. I think they'll be great offensively. And the defense is going to be pretty formidable as well. San Francisco in San Francisco is a much different team than they are on the road. I don't like them having to come and play the early game in Minnesota, so I'm taking the Vikings.
I got a lot of friends that are Vikings fans. So the only comment I've got here is the Vikings have a lot of their fan base to let down. It seems to be a common pattern that I hear from a lot of my Viking fans.
Yeah.
But I just don't see it happening this week. I see them steamrolling the 49ers. It's just they're I said it last week when talking about the Niners record. Jimmy's winning streak ends week one in Minnesota.
It will. It will. I believe that as well. Okay. Just a few more morning games. The Tennessee Titans just take a short trip to Miami to face the Dolphins.
I think later in the year the Titans should win this one pretty easily. Wait. First, we should start off with what we were picking before I just dive right in, shouldn't we?
Yeah. So that's what happens when I'm sick.
I am the only person of the three of us picking the Dolphins to win this game.
Yeah, you're gonna have to, you know, talk to that because I've got the Tennessee Titans on the road. Lady Edith also very smartly has got the Tennessee Titans on the road. But you've decided to go with Miami here at home, and I'm not sure why.
I think they've got a little too much uncertainty early in the season with changing up the scheme on the offense.
Okay.
That's why I say I think later in the season they win this game easily. But I think right now, with Tannehill back at the Dolphins, they sneak this one out at home.
That's the key word. They sneak it out. But that's the name I was looking for right there is Tannehill. I'm not sold on the guy yet. And yeah, he's serviceable. He doesn't make too many mistakes, but when he does make a mistake, it kills you. It's like usually in the red zone and it hurts. And that's one thing that Marcus Mariota doesn't do. He doesn't make dumb mistakes. I think their offense is actually going to be loads, much improved. And I think the Tennessee Titans defense is going to be a lot better as well. They're my sneaky pick in that AFC South. They're the ones that possibly be competing against Jacksonville there at the end of the year. I like them to start off hot, and I think they'll take the Dolphins. All right. Then comes the Cincinnati Bengals going to Indy to face the Colts. In this game, you and I agree, and Lady Edith decides to go out on her own there. I have the Indianapolis Colts winning at home, as do you. But Lady Edith is taking Cincinnati on the road. And once again, the only thing I can think is Andy Dalton. She likes the red hair or something. Something about the red there. I'm not sure. Cincinnati, to me, is in the top five of bottom teams. See what I did there? They're one of the worst five teams in the league right now. And as much as I like Marvin Lewis, I still have no idea how he has a job. Because the Cincinnati Bengals, they had that kind of like 4 or 5 years where they'd make the playoffs and then, boom, get bounced immediately out of the playoffs. Last year ended pretty disastrously. I don't see how they have improved at all on either side of the ball. Joe Mixon, outside of A.J. Green, there's nobody both on the offense Well, they do got a couple people on the defense that excite me, but just as a whole, they don't. And maybe it's because I was on the Bengals bandwagon for so long, and I saw so much disappointment that I'm no longer. I'm like they want me back on the. They're like saying, "Keep come back on the bandwagon." I'm like, "No, no, I'm good. I don't want to get on. I don't want to get on the bandwagon." Right?
I'll catch the next one.
Yeah, I'll wait for the next one. So, maybe that's what it is. Maybe there's a little heartstring pulling there, but I think Indy's not going to be as bad as people think, and especially at home. Andrew Luck's first game back. I think he's going to be throwing the ball. They're going to have to throw the ball a lot.
They are, yeah.
And I think they'll throw it much better than Cincinnati, so I'm going to take Indy for the win.
And I don't have anything to disagree with there. In 3 weeks, I think this one's going to end up as one of those nap games. I don't see a lot of excitement on either side. I don't mean to offend Bengals or Colts fans, but I'm going to take the Colts because, sure.
Yeah.
I don't have any justification not to, right?
I'm taking Luck over Dalton. That's where I'm going there. All right, the final morning game, the Pittsburgh Steelers travel to Cleveland to face the Browns.
Speaking of the next bandwagon bus.
My, oh my, and I have jumped on this one pretty quickly. I tell you what, the Pittsburgh Steelers are in danger. Remember early on, a couple episodes ago, I said, maybe the Le'Veon Bell holdout is a charade. I can't speak.
Sorry.
I'm sick, man. The brother is sick right now. It's a charade. And both Le'Veon and the Steelers are in on it. They know that he's going to come back the week before the season starts and he'll be ready to play week one. They know they're not going to give him any money. He knows he's not going to get any more money. He's just going to come back and be ready to go. But maybe, just maybe, he sees Aaron Donald and Khalil Mack and say, did you see how much guaranteed money these fools made? And they're playing defense. And I am running the ball like a possessed man for the Pittsburgh Steelers. People saying I'm probably the best back in the league right now. And I can't get any money. I can't get no love. And maybe he's had enough. And maybe he doesn't show up. As of right now, we're recording at 9:31 p.m. Pacific time on Tuesday before the season starts. There is no news of him showing up to camp. And Mike Tomlin, the head coach, says, we're not going to talk about Le'Veon Bell and whether he's going to be ready for week one until Le'Veon Bell shows to camp, and then it'll be all things Le'Veon Bell. So he's not putting the timetables like he's got to be in here by Wednesday or by Thursday, otherwise he has no shot of playing. I just don't know how the Pittsburgh Steelers are going to look without Bell. I know they're going to rely a lot on Big Ben. They're going to have to put a lot on his shoulders because they're going to go with Connor. They think Connor is going to put up Bell-like numbers? I don't think so. So I'm going to tell you, first of all, this is my lock of the week, which I'll talk at the end of the show for betting purposes. I think this is the upset of the week. I think at home, the Cleveland Browns are going to get after Ben Roethlisberger. They're going to smack him around a little bit. He's not going to have comfortable pockets. Cleveland's defense is going to get after him. And they are going to win the football game. Straight up.
And Lady Edith agrees with you.
Yes, she does.
I, however, do not.
You got Pittsburgh?
I got Pittsburgh in this one. Look, I'm counting on Bell coming back. There are a couple reports talking about him coming back tomorrow, you know, showing up in camp after signing his franchise tag agreement. I think he comes in. I think they've got no choice to put him out there. He might not be in peak shape, but he's still one of the best backs in the league. Even at 90%, he's probably going to be well worth starting. So I am making this pick based on my prayers and assumptions, because I also have Bell in one of my fantasy leagues, that he will be in camp tomorrow, Thursday at the latest, and be ready to go come Sunday.
Yeah, I think you better be, as far as that fantasy football team is concerned, you better be prepared for no Bell week one. That's what I hope
happy,
you have good backups.
I'm happy it's a morning game, so I have some options should right. he not start. Without Bell on the sidelines, I'm probably leaning back towards the Browns.
Yeah, I just think, look, I think Hugh Jackson has starting to change the mentality in that locker room that we can win with the guys we have right now. And that defense, maybe it is me jumping on the bandwagon because of Hard Knocks, but that defense has looked fierce. And, mind you, this is a defense that's looked so fierce, they cut Nate Orchard and Carl Nassib, two of the highlights from Hard Knocks. These guys were beasts, and they didn't make the team. So I just think that defense is going to ball out, and I fear for Ben Roethlisberger. Because I don't know how he's going to stay upright and have enough time to throw the football. Because
they're going to have Bell on the sideline.
There you go. So Lady Edith and I have the Cleveland Browns, an upset special. Well, and it's going to be an upset special because the Steelers are favored by 6 points. So, man, I would like to just hit one just one time. Just to be like, yes. Yes. All right, moving on to Sunday afternoon. The Kansas City Chiefs travel to the West Coast to face the Los Angeles. I was going to say San Diego Super. Does it work? San Diego, Los Angeles. No. Los Angeles
close.
Superchargers. Yeah, we got to work on that because it's not working. Hit bell. There you go. All right, Kansas City at San Diego, and you and I agree on the San Diego Chargers, but Lady Edith is taking the Chiefs.
I don't think Lady Edith is a Philip Rivers fan.
Yeah, is that what it is?
In this case, it is.
She decided to lean towards Mahomes over Rivers. Look, and that's my thing. Look, I think Patrick Mahomes is a good kid, and I think he's going to be a very good quarterback in the league. He's young still. And
too many questions.
Yeah, there's just so many questions there. And the Chargers defense is another one of those defenses that's going to be sneaky good. Plus, Philip Rivers, man, this dude, I guarantee, I'm going to go on the guarantee. I don't have the This I Guarantee song on in the cart, but I'll have to put it in there. But This I Guarantee, Philip Rivers is going to go for 4,400 yards passing this year.
Well, here's the exact opposite story. I mean, it's he's a story of consistency.
Yeah, he'll be consistent. He's going to throw for a lot of passing yards. He stays healthy and plays all 16 games this season. I don't see him not throwing for over 4,400 yards.
Chargers defense, 1-2 turnovers. Yep. Rivers turns those into points. That's the game right there.
All right, so you and I like the Chargers. Lady Edith sticks with the Chiefs. Sunday, the Seattle Seahawks travel to Denver to face the Broncos.
This is going to be an interesting game. All three of us have the Seahawks winning on the road.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the Broncos are – they decided to start who? What? I mean, look, I do know that I like Royce Freeman. That's the rookie running back they decided is going to be the starter, which great for him. But it would be good for a rookie running back if he had a quarterback that people feared. And quite frankly, the Denver Broncos right now offensively, they have Emmanuel Sanders and Demaryius Thomas on the outside. I'm not sure there's somebody who could throw them football. So
clearly the Vikings didn't think so.
When and that's what leads me to the point here. When Minnesota decided to we're going to get rid of all of our quarterbacks, we made it to within a game of the NFC Championship game, and we do not like the Sam Bradford, we do not like Teddy Bridgewater, and we do not like I can't even say his name right now because it's like at the tip of my tongue. Say it for
Keenum.
Me. There you go. Case Keenum. These guys led a team deep into the playoffs, but they weren't good enough to stick around with that team. Obviously, the Denver Broncos have issues. They let go of Paxton Lynch. He was supposed to be their guy. And by the way, John Elway, if you're listening, Jerry Jones thanks you because that was supposed to be Jerry Jones's guy. Jerry Jones wanted to trade up to get Paxton Lynch. He lucked into Dak Prescott instead, which I think that was a better move.
It appears so.
Yeah. So I just think offensively they're going to struggle. Now, look, you got Von Miller on one side and you got great pass rusher on the other side. The Denver Broncos defense is going to be good once again. I just don't see how they put up points. I'm gonna take the Seattle Seahawks.
Yeah,
Russell Wilson.
Wilson's gonna be enough to get that done.
Yeah,
it's gonna be kind of an ugly defensive game, but
Carson and Penny though, the runners there, and you know you have Doug Baldwin and Lockett. They're still there's a connection there between them and Wilson. Wilson's gonna have to use his feet because they're still a little shaky up front, but I think they'll do enough to win the game. All right, two more afternoon games. The Dallas Cowboys travel to Carolina to face the Carolina Panthers. I find this odd. Usually if it's an East Coast team playing at home, it's a morning game. But it's the Cowboys. So you want more eyeballs on that. And they make it an afternoon game, which is nice. But that makes me mad because I have to sit through all morning before I get to a game. At least it's not Sunday Night Football, which it had been for the last 6 years.
Yeah, I get that one.
Yeah, Sunday Night Football. You get that one this year. So, Dallas at Carolina, and oh my gosh, I'm looking across the board. We all have the Cowboys.
I don't know why, but somehow this one is, what, Panthers -3? And, I mean, that's just, I don't see that happening. The Cowboys probably going to be a little closer than you'd like it to be.
Yeah, it's going to be a close game. I'm not taking anything away from the Panthers. Except that as much as I like Cam Newton, Funchess doesn't strike a lot of fear into people.
No.
I'm not sure how healthy Greg Olsen is going to be at the tight end position, so I don't know who he's throwing the ball to. Now, I know the Dallas Cowboys defense is looking – their first-string defense is looking great. Now, God forbid someone gets hurt like Sean Lee or Jalen Smith, and they have to put a – backup in there because the backups for the Cowboys did not look good at all this preseason. But starting defense is going to look pretty good. I think they're going to be fresh, rotating guys into the line. They're going to get a pass rush this year. And so I think they're going to get at Cam. I like Dallas to win this game. And Lady Edith, I mean, come on. She's on fire. So far right now, outside of that Eagles pick, I mean, she is looking amazing.
Yeah, I don't quite disagree with that, or quite agree with that. I've got some differing views on a few of these, but we will know Sunday afternoon.
All righty then. The final afternoon game, the Washington Redskins travel to Arizona to face the Cardinals.
This one, we are all in agreement.
Again, we're all taking Arizona at home to beat the Redskins. Look. So the Redskins didn't buy in on Kirk Cousins, right? They shipped him off. But who'd they bring in?
Alex
Smith. Now, I have nothing against Alex Smith. He is a true pro's pro. I was fortunate enough to cover the situation that he had to go through in San Francisco all the way up to the Super Bowl. Acted with class the entire way. He's been a class guy with Kansas City the entire few seasons that he's been there. But at the end of the day, as mobile as he is and as talented as he is, he's just really never had the team around him to get the job done throwing the football. And you look at the Washington Redskins wide receivers, and it's a bunch of
Is Smith any better than Cousins was? Or is?
Well,
I mean, is that an upgrade at quarterback?
I think it's a little bit of an upgrade. I just don't think he's going to have weapons. I mean, look, what he did with Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce, that was some really good stuff there. I don't think he's going to have that in Washington. I think definitely Doxson and Reed are downgrades from Kelce and Tyreek Hill. So I don't see a lot of success there throwing the football for the Redskins. And Arizona's defense, man, they impressed the heck out of me. When they had the starters out there for the last three preseason games, their starting unit looked phenomenal. Maybe Alex Smith doesn't maybe make it out of this game, and then he doesn't have to worry about the rest of the season. But we all like Arizona. It's time for Sunday Night Football. The Chicago Bears travel to Lambeau to face the Green Bay Packers. I'm curious to see who Edith picked in this one.
This one was a tough one for her.
Yes.
Yeah. It's probably the only logo she sees around the house with any frequency. So I don't believe she even looked at the Bears logo when picking and just recognized the Packers logo.
So she just went straight to the Packers.
Of course.
I see this all the time. Daddy's got it on his head all the time. He's got it on his shirt all the time. Packers. Boom.
My older siblings are trying to get me to say Green Bay Packers. A few too many hard consonants in there for her, but she's getting there.
Yeah.
So far, she's so good with Wisconsin Badgers. So
we're
getting there.
Wisconsin Badgers. So I got a question. Do you think she's going to pick the Packers every week this year?
I would assume she will.
Yeah.
I mean, unless there's some logo that she likes better than the Packers, but I something tells me that there might be some classical conditioning involved in that, where she gets an attaboy every time she picks the Packers. So it's probably not a completely blind pick on her part, but that's okay.
That's so good. That's all right. Hey, I pick the Cowboys every week, so I'm not going to hold it against her if she picks the Packers every week. As long as she keeps picking the Blue Star, that's all I got to say.
I don't think anybody can criticize our Super Bowl picks, right?
All righty then. We've all got Green Bay. Look, the Trubisky era there in Chicago, as much as I am ecstatic for what that defense can become with Khalil Mack, and if he is ready for them to throw him out on the football field and get after Aaron Rodgers, that's going to be great to see. Offensively, I just don't see Jordan Howard doesn't excite me. There's not a single wide receiver on that team that excites me. Trey Bolton doesn't excite me at the tight end position. And Trubisky certainly doesn't excite me. And what I saw from them this preseason, I was just like, ouch, that is going to be – I feel the Bears, it's going to be very hard. The Bears going to be hard to watch. And I feel bad for Bears fans. Happy about the Khalil Mack deal and I think the future of that organization. But right now, I don't think they've got what it takes to match up against Rodgers and the Green Bay Packers.
Look, the Packers-Bears rivalry is always a big game for either side.
Yeah, absolutely.
When Lovie Smith came in as the News Bears coach, you know, what we're talking 10, 15 years ago now, he made his first commitment that all the Chicago fans loved is, we're going to beat the Packers.
Yeah.
Then we're going to get a winning season. So it's a special game for the fans. It bleeds over onto the field. People get excited about it. Bears are not going to go away easily in this one. I think it's going to be
tight. They play each other tough.
Yeah, it's going to be a tight game for the first half while everybody's kind of feeling their way and the Bears are still amped up. But I think at the end, the talent that the Packers bring on, especially on offense, is going to win this one. So.
Yeah, so we all like the Packers there. I think Aaron Rodgers and his crew will just be a little too much for Khalil Mack and the Bears defense. All right, moving on to Monday Night Football, September 10th. Also my birthday. The NFL decided to throw me a nice birthday party.
It's a very nice birthday
party. By giving me not one, but two games. Monday night doubleheader to open the season. The New York Jets travel to Detroit to face the Bears. We all got the Lions.
Yeah, in the undercard game.
Yes, the undercard. The undercard game, the New York Jets at Detroit, and we've all got Detroit. Look, maybe it's because he's a USC Trojan. And maybe because I saw him play a lot of football at the collegiate level, I was never a big fan of Sam Darnold at the collegiate level. Not just because I cheered against his team, but because from what I saw physically, just wasn't all that impressive. And I could never see what everybody was saying about how impressive this guy was. Because my eyeball test was, he's okay. He's not like, wow. I remember watching Carson Palmer. That was wow. I mean, that was impressive. Darnold never impressed me. And I don't see what Tony Romo sees. I don't see what a lot of other guys see. So I want to see it on the football field. And now
to see it.
Yeah, we're going to see it. Maybe he proves me wrong, but I don't think so. And I think the Jets are going to struggle for a while before they get good. I got the Lions.
I agree.
And so does Lady Edith. And the final game of Monday Night Football, the Los Angeles Rams travel to Oakland to face the Raiders.
And we disagree here.
Yeah, the Oakland Raiders now can start the season, no longer have to worry about Khalil Mack because they shipped him out. What do they have now? They have a bunch of guys in that locker room now saying, man, if my organization can't even keep our best defensive dude. There were a lot of crazy tweets that came out from Oakland players when the trade was announced. I think at least at some level, that is going to affect the team a little bit as a whole. And plus, I like the Rams. I got the Rams in the NFC Championship game. I got to start with the dog that I'm taking all the way to the end. So
we both have them at the same spot at the end of the season.
Yeah, that's right.
I think there are too many emotions here. I think it's a tight game. I don't think the Rams run away with this thing early in the season. I think at the Raiders, Gruden's going to have this team ready to go. I think the Raiders squeak this one out.
No, I think the Rams win a close one, and I think it's going to be close only because this is the first time we see the Rams. I mean, the Rams literally didn't play at all in the preseason. Like, I think their starters, maybe collectively as a whole, got the least amount of playing time on the field than any other team in the league. So for us to see, we're going to see Goff, and he's finally going to get a chance to throw to Cooks and Cooper Kupp and all of those. I mean, and Todd Gurley going to get a full workload.
And like we said last week, it's going to be 1 or 2 weeks before they actually get together on the team, on the field.
However, with no Khalil Mack, that defense is going to feel different. And I think Gurley runs all over him. I'm looking for Gurley to have a big game. Rams win this one. And look at Lady Edith. She agrees with me as well.
She agrees with you.
There you go. So all in all, there are all of our picks. We, all three of us, agree on 8 games. So half the slate, you, myself, and Lady Edith all agree.
All agree.
That's incredible. You and I agree on 4 games.
So total of, where are we, 12?
So that's,
yes,
12.
Yes, I can do math.
So that's right. So there are 4 games that we differ on, which brings us to the challenge game. You get to pick, Steve, since it is your first time on the show picking. You get to decide which ones. We differ on Falcons-Eagles, Titans-Dolphins, Steelers-Browns, and Rams-Raiders.
I kind of want to leave this one to the final game of the weekend, but I'm not going to. There's part of me that Rams-Raiders would be a fun one to have.
It would. We could watch it together.
We could.
We could still watch it together even if you don't pick it.
True. But I think I'm going to go. I'm going to try to knock you off that bandwagon, and I'm waiting on,
awfully
on
quick.
Bell. I'm hoping Bell is back, so I'm going to go with the Steelers-Browns.
Well, you know what? I would. There are, of all these games, that's the game that would be the one that, if the shoe was on the other foot, that's what I would pick. Because the Steelers are favored by 6 points. I mean,
yeah,
that's big. But that being said, here's about time that I give you my NFL Lock of the Week. This is for all you folks that are in a place where you can wager legally on the football games, such as Las Vegas, Atlantic City, or all of our listeners in the UK who you can just walk across the street and walk into one of their little sports books there and place a wager. Please do so responsibly and know that I am just giving you my gut feeling. My lock of the week is the Cleveland Browns +6 at home against the Pittsburgh Steelers. Look, I love a home dog. I love home dogs. It's been documented well on this show. I do very well when picking home dogs. And my home dog is the Cleveland Browns. I think defensively they're going to be great. They're going to get after the Pittsburgh Steelers. And as of right now, there is no Le'Veon Bell. I don't think Le'Veon Bell, even if he comes in tomorrow or Thursday, will be ready for a game on Sunday. Because you got to get him into game shape, right? You don't just want to throw him out there and then what? He gets hurt in the first week of the season? You don't want to get your beast injured right off the bat.
Do you really think he's been on the couch?
No, I don't think he's been on the couch, but there's a difference between working out and football working out. I mean, there's a huge difference. So, I'm not saying that he's been slouching, he's going to come in, he's going to have a gut, but I don't think he'll be ready. And I think the Cleveland's defense has looked smothering. Without Bell, the Steelers are going to have to rely too much on Big Ben's arm, which is going to mean every drop back is going to be the opportunity for him to get knocked around. I think the Cleveland Browns are going to do that. They're going to be smothering. And I'm not sure to start off the season without your horse, Le'Veon Bell, you can win by a touchdown, because that's effectively what the Steelers would have to do to cover this. So I like the Cleveland Browns, and that's my lock of the week. Anything to say about that?
No. Nope.
You still want to make that the challenge game?
I do.
All right, so there you go. That's the challenge game. We're going to lock it in. Steve likes the Pittsburgh Steelers, while I am taking the Cleveland Browns. Folks, this is your last chance to enter the NFL Survivor Pool, where you pick one team every week. They win, you move on. They lose, you're out. Go to the website, NFLRNR.com, and sign up for that. And you can also come out to the website and register to put your weekly picks up against us. I'm going to have to teach Steve how to get Lady Edith up there so that we can track her record along with ours as well. Go out to NFLRNR.com. Click the link, weekly pool. It takes you to the office pool place. It's free to join, and then you just put in our code and password and sign up so you can put your picks and follow along with us all year long. Also, if you're not following us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, do that. Get all the social media handles at NFLRNR.com. Once again, this has been Steven Miranda.
And Steve Fry.
For NFL Rants and Raves. Thanks for listening, y'all. Good night.